Welcome to this week's Plotting Shed episode. You're listening to Rachel McCartane. As always, all the advice that we give you can be found somewhere on the pages of our website, plantplots.com. But if you've got any specific questions or anything you'd like me to answer, please email me, rachel@plantplots.com. As always, we'd love you to subscribe. Please do once you've finished listening to this podcast. What is the Plotting Shed all about? Well, I started doing gardening many years ago and made so many mistakes. And like everybody, I bought loads of books and I watched all the Gardener's World programmes and I watched Chelsea and I watched the Hampton Court Flower Show and I went to some. And I still ended up making garden mistakes. And everything I tried to do, I couldn't ever really find the bits of information that were relevant and pertinent to me, the things that I was really having problems with. I didn't want to know, actually, how to take cuttings from a pelargonium. I didn't really need to know that in January I had to do this with these shrubs and in February I had to do that with these shrubs because they weren't in my garden. What I needed to know was how can I make a border that works, that doesn't take over everything, that will actually mean that I don't have to work at it all year round because I've got three kids and a house and everything else to run, and which plants are really going to go well with which. You know, I used to go around to gardener centres and thinking, oh, I'll go and buy some plants, and it used to annoy the living daylights out of me that I would have to walk up and down the aisles and they were all set up alphabetically. Now, I didn't know whether an ABs would go next to an aconitum. In fact, I didn't even know what an aconitum was at that particular point in time. I'm very glad I didn't buy one. They're very poisonous, by the way. And garden centres just put plants next to each other. They did group shady plants together, or climbers together, or roses together, but I didn't want a rose garden. And if I wanted a climber, I only wanted one. I didn't want to have all of them together. What I needed was understanding how I could combine plants. A bit like when you walk into a clothes store, for example. All of the clothes are laid out in racks in different sizes and different colours, and they put everything together that goes with each other. And then they do a really good thing, which is they dress a mannequin up so I can see what I might look like if I wore those clothes. Albeit that I'm not Barbie-shaped, obviously. But at least I could see how they looked. And garden centres never seemed to do it. And I just ended up with cock-up after cock-up in the garden. I finally decided, which was really my sister-in-law, when she said to me, she said, do you know what? I just want to know what I can put there in that spot. And I know that it's going to grow and it's going to look nice and it's not going to cause me a problem. And that got me thinking, which is what I started Plant Plots for, to create little designs that people could download like a recipe and think, okay, I need three of those, four of those, two of those and one of those. And if I put them all in this little spot here, because the picture shows me where to put them, then I can see what it'll grow like. Someone else has done the thinking, someone else has actually worked out what plants to go with what, and that makes it easy. I'm no chef, I'm not anything like as good a cook as Delia Smith or Jamie Oliver, but I think nothing of following their recipes, because they work. So why wouldn't I do the same thing in the garden? So that's what I started. I started creating all of those designs, which I then put on the website, which is plantplots.com, which you can then download and use in the garden. And obviously then things have grown and we've put a lot of garden advice on, but it's garden advice my way. I like practical, sensible, affordable design advice. There's no point in me saying, oh yes, you could do this with a garden, but it's going to cost you £25,000 if the person's only got £250 to try and improve the planting in their garden. And so everything I've tried to do is not high-end, it's not sort of avant-garde, it's not Chelsea Flower Show, it's not trying to create anything like that. It's just really trying to show people who have ordinary budgets and gardens No, I wouldn't say ordinary because that's a bit patronizing, but have standard size gardens. We don't have massive gardens, and you just want your garden to look as nice as the inside of your house, but at the moment you don't know enough about plants to do it on the outside. And that's really what plant pots is. We're just there to try and make it easier. We're trying to debunk the mysteries of gardening. We're not interested in horticulture. We're interested in how you can make your garden look better without spending A, too much time, and B, too much money. And I'm going to be trying to post a number of podcasts over the next few weeks on all aspects of garden design and things that we think are important. But it's a podcast, so you don't want to listen to the same old boring voice just droning on about how to do this and what you should be doing. I want to make it very interactive. I'd like people to send in things that you think about garden design. We're going to have a section on garden bloopers and how you can solve them. Now, I've made plenty of garden bloopers, but if you've got some really good garden bloopers, send us a picture. You can email it to me, rachel@plantplots.com, and we'll broadcast the best bloopers and best blooper solutions that we have. We'll have a section of the plotting shed soapbox, things that really annoy me. Things that might really annoy you, things that we think are really important that we should be paying attention to in a horticultural sense. Now, if you want to add your soapbox rant, then please you can do that as well. I'll put the best ones on the podcast, clean ones, obviously, witty, funny, intelligent, all those sorts of things. Please send them in again, rachel@plantplots.com. If you've got pictures of your garden that you would like to show, we'll put them on our Facebook page. You can tell us a little bit about your garden and what you love about your garden. We want this to be the non-gardener's gardening show. We're not trying to do what the RHS does. We're not trying to be like other garden designers. We want this to be something that you and the garden can say, hey, look, here's my garden. I've just created this border. And we can all have a look at it and go, yeah, that's really good. Well done. And pass those tips and hints and on between ourselves because, we all have busy lives and we can't all devote our time to gardens and horticulture. Now, I like gardens and horticulture, but I'm inherently a really lazy gardener. I haven't got time or the inclination to do all the stuff that you see on Gardener's World. It's just not going to happen, is it really? I want to put my stuff in the ground, I want to keep it fairly weed-free, and I'd like it to look nice in the spring and look better in the summer and not cause me too much work in the winter. Now, all right, my garden is a little bigger than most because we did buy a bigger garden, and I've probably got more stuff in my garden, and it's actually too maintenance intensive. I need to try and readjust that. But that's something, if you've inherited a garden, that really is a lot of work. How do you reduce the level of work? Those are sorts of things that we'll discuss. We'll discuss things like what can you do to make your garden look wider? What can you do to make your garden feel bigger? How can you choose plants when you know nothing about plants? All those sorts of things we're going to be popping on this podcast, so we hope you enjoy it. We'd love to hear your feedback. Send me any emails, tell me what you think. We'll be quite happy to make changes and make things better or shorter or longer, introduce different sections, things that you would like to hear about. Let me know, and we'll see what we can do in future podcasts. I thought I would tell you a little story about me and Donald, Donald Trump, who did bump into our website actually during his presidential campaign. So I thought I'd tell you how it came about, and as much as I found it very funny at the time, it also highlights actually, which is quite scary, how much of what we do and what we say is being monitored and is being viewed on the internet. So I'll just give you a bit of the background. This was back in when he was president-elect and he was doing his campaign rallying. And you know Donald with his campaign rallying. He likes to shoot from the hip and he'll say what he thinks because obviously what he thinks is absolutely correct and only he has the right solution. So his solution at that particular point in time was that
He wanted to make sure that he could ban any Muslims from entering America because obviously, any Muslim must be a terrorist. So if we don't let them into America, then we protect the American public. And the British press at the time were debating, and there was a debate going on in society, as to actually, did that really constitute racial hatred? And does that mean that the President of the United States or the President-elect of the United States might be banned from entering the UK on the grounds that he's inciting religious hatred? So this was all under the auspices of that going on. And I was on Twitter at one point, and I was just suddenly up popped on my Twitter feed this article, which was a Telegraph article, about that there was this new high-speed, high-altitude jet. And it said something like, you know, new private jet can get you from London to New York in something like 2 hours. So I replied to the tweet to the person who wrote it, and I said, ha ha ha, it's New York to London we need to worry about. Nobody tell hashtag Donald Trump. Thought nothing more of it. Got a little response from the guy back, you know, lol, he thought that was quite funny. And that was that. That was my little sort of soiree into Twitter that day. So you can imagine my surprise that on the Sunday morning when I opened up my laptop and I was looking at my emails, I had an email from one of the websites that I use that I put articles on. And it said that Donald J. Trump of the Make America Great campaign was following my articles, which I have to say did make me sit up and think. And I sort of thought, hang on a minute, this is a hoax. This is not true. Donald Trump really can't be following my website. So I obviously thought this was a great opportunity. So I was emailing out and Twittering out to absolutely everybody that I can see, like, hey, Donald Trump started following me. Should I be scared? And I thought, how on earth has he found me? And the only thing I could think of was that from that article, I put on my response to the Twitter, you know, and I said, nobody tell hashtag Donald Trump. So obviously that went on to the Twitter feed. Now, my website, as you probably know, is called plantplots.com, and we do all things horticulture and garden design. Now, whether Donald saw my little tweet about him, was a bit cheesed off, or whether he misread what my company was called, and maybe he thought it was called Planet Plots, I don't know, but anyway, perhaps they were checking me out. I was quite staggered. I thought, my God, you know, this little tweet that I've put out in the middle of the Twitter sphere has suddenly landed in the Make America Great campaign. And so I then sort of tweeted out, you know, that Donald had followed me, this, that and the other. And all of a sudden, I started getting people from America starting to follow me. I had, excuse me, the university students from Wisconsin, or the Make America Great Again, association of such and such started following me, and it was quite staggering that this particular person, you know, Donald J. Trump, had found Plant Plots. So I did actually tweet to him. I did send him a message saying, Donald, you know, it's very nice that you're following my website, what have you. We do actually have a campaign on hedgehogs at the moment to try and get hedgehogs holes. Would you kindly endorse our hedgehog hole campaign, or are you looking for plants for your garden, maybe the White House, and you want some advice? I'm more than happy to help out there. He didn't reply, and in the interests of press sort of I suppose, you know, verification, he did actually unfollow me a few days later. So I did tweet him again, and I said, Donald, what have I done? I'm sorry, you know, have I upset you? Which lots of people then actually went, oh no, Donald's unfollowed you. And so it was all rather bizarre that me, this tiny little sort of garden design company from a sunny corner of Sussex in the UK, suddenly was followed by the most powerful man to be in the world. And I'm not sure whether I should be really quite scared about that. What do you think?
This week's Plotting Shed Soapbox Rant. your opportunity to tell us what drives you mad about the world of horticulture.
You know, one of my pet hates with the horticultural industry is the fact that everything has been the same. The way that they do things has been the same for decades. The way they describe plants has been the same for decades. And actually, I think plants need to be described by what they're going to do rather than what they look like or the size that they're going to get. They have to be described by how they're going to make me feel, what they're going to do for me in my garden, how they're going to contribute to my garden. I mean, if I go to a shopping, which I don't do very often, I have to say, but let's just say I want to go and buy a pair of jeans and I'm going into a shop and I see all these jeans in display. Now, I don't buy the pair of jeans because it says they're size 10 skinny fit with a nice logo on my bum. I don't buy the jeans because that's what it tells me the jeans are. I buy the jeans because when I put them on, and I shoehorn myself into them, my bum doesn't look too big, they fit me nicely, and I feel $1 million. The jeans have made me feel something. They have done something for me. They have made me think I'm slimmer than I am, and that I can wear these skinny jeans and still look like an 18-year-old. All right, they can't solve every problem, I understand, but you get my drift. So I just wish that plant labels and horticultural trade and garden centres would actually be a little bit less bland and a little bit less boring, make plants more interesting. You know, I've always classified with my company at Plant Spots when I'm designing, and it's how I design gardens is by what they're going to make me feel. So I've listed plants in different ways. So I've got plants listed as background plants. They may be plants with personality, plants with specific purposes. These are the finishing touches. And probably my most important ones are plants to avoid if I don't like gardening. Because I don't want to have plants like that that are going to cause me issues in my garden. So there might be things, for example, and again, I've classified these. I've got my bog-offs, you know, buy one, get several thousand free. There are plants that fight back. There are messy plants. There are speed spreaders, triffids, and high maintenance plant divas. You know, the plant superstars of the world that if I treat them and look after them and pamper them, I'll end up with this amazing display. But if I don't, I'll end up with a really sulky teenager that sits on the couch and grumbles at me all day long. Imagine it, you go into the garden centre and there is a great section that says, these plants are going to make you happy. How many people would buy those plants? You know, this plant will put a smile on your face. These plants are fabulous because you're going to sit there and they'll remind you of your summer holiday. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, that would be so much fun, wouldn't it? If we actually had plant labels that actually described how that plant is going to make us feel, wouldn't that make it so much more interesting when we're going to buy plants? You could kind of walk around the garden centre and say, oh, look, here's the section of happy flowers. Here's the section of touch me flowers. Here's the section of smell me flowers. It would just make plant buying a whole lot easier for everyone, wouldn't it?
Thank you and goodbye from this week's edition of the Plotting Shed podcast. We'll be back next week. Once again, please do subscribe. Or if you have any queries or questions or anything you'd like to submit to the Plotting Shed podcast, please email it to me, Rachel@plantplots.com.